All right, we got 6:30. Let's start the work session at this time. Rollout of work session is taken not by roll, but by staff. So let's start right in with the Blue Line Extension Route Modification Report.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, council members. Tonight, I'll put the resolution up here on the screen. I want to preface this discussion by just repeating something I said, but kind of in the inverse back in December. In December, we were talking about a specific question of preference for the Bass Lake Road intersection, the interchange option versus the at-grade 464 option. For tonight's work session, staff's goal was to draft a resolution that we hoped would, when you vote on it next week, get unanimous council support, because this resolution does not intend to resolve or even hint at the resolution of those design questions. What's the best solution at Bass Lake Road?
Yeah.
And kind of a separate, equally significant issue in Crystal, is it really workable to reduce Botno Boulevard from six lanes to four between Bass Lake Road and Highway 100. And city staff, and I think at least some of the council members feel that the case has not been made on that second item, that it's workable. I would say staff's approach on that question about six lanes being reduced to four, we're skeptical, but we're open-minded. We recognize that commuter patterns are changing, perhaps more rapidly than we would have thought before the pandemic, but we don't know if it's permanent. So like I said, skeptical, but open-minded. But either way, it hasn't been resolved. We don't have the level of detailed traffic analysis, qualitative as well as quantitative. We just have a lot more work to do on that. And we are gonna discuss those details more at the February 10th work session when Blue Line staff will come here to get into those details about that and also the interchange versus at grade options for Bass Lake Road. So for tonight, as you saw in the resolution, it doesn't get into details really at all. We focused on what we felt were omissions from the route modification report that should be addressed. And again, our goal is something that all of you could vote to support. And really it comes down to these three main areas that are on the screen in front of you. Let me scroll down a little bit more here. So the first one is that when they list out the community concerns they heard from all the engagement efforts over the last several months and going back to the spring of 2021, they listed four bullet points of items of concern. And yes, all of those items, and I won't go through them here because they're in the report, but all of those items were indeed things that were brought up. But staff believes that none of them were brought up as consistently in both in terms of how many people made the comments and also in terms of the period of time over which those comments continued to be made. Was a concern about the impact on vehicular mobility due to the proposed lane reduction. That if you're gonna list the other four things, then you also need to list that fifth thing, which was at least as important to the community as those other four things. So that's item one in the resolution. Item two, it's kind of a general omission in that if you read the report, you would get the impression that Metro Transit and Hennepin County are not concerned with the impacts on vehicular mobility, and that there at least should be some discussion in the report that there may be a trade-off. They talk a lot about improved transit connections and access and so forth, but that may come at a price. And while we don't know exactly what that trade-off is, and you can have some reduction in vehicular mobility that is not so impactful that it makes the project unworkable, right? You can have some change, but we don't know the answer to that yet. And we just, at a staff level, we felt that there should be some acknowledgement that there may be a trade-off. If you're talking about reducing traffic lanes, that there may be a trade-off. And it isn't just about improving transit-related access and connectivity and so forth. And the third item, basically, the last sentence is what we think should be in there. I'll just read that. The impacts of the proposed lane reduction on vehicular mobility and potential design solutions to mitigate the impacts are recognized as a serious community concern and will require more in-depth technical analysis and community input. The one change to this third item in the resolution I would suggest is since I drafted this, I realized that one sentence about, for example, Metro Transit and Hennepin County did not provide updated traffic counts to the city until December 2021. That is factually true, but A, it's kind of nitpicky, and B, that's only the latest example of how we feel the traffic issue has not received the level of attention and focus that we feel it needs. And so to call out that one specific example seems kind of pointless. I mean, we've made our point, right? Is that traffic is an issue. We make that point repeatedly through here. And that very last sentence that I just read about the impacts and so forth, I think really kind of sums up what we feel hopefully will be a universally acceptable position for the whole council. Because clearly the impacts on vehicular mobility are a serious community concern, and there's a lot more work to be done on that. So, and then I guess there is a fourth item, but it is very general, where we talk about that we take the report as in merely endorsing further study and design work, but not confirming community support of the route. We can't know for sure whether this community supports the route until the traffic questions are answered and the Bass Lake Road intersection is solved in some way. So with that, I will stop and ask if you have any questions or comments, and also if anyone objects to me taking out that nitpicky sentence about December 21 traffic counts, which I put in the first place.
Okay, yeah, I don't have any problem with that. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Okay. Go for it. What's the timeline? When does Met Council expect to have a plan for Bass Lake Road?
So it all comes back to when they would expect to come to us with municipal consent and ask for a council vote on whatever the plan is at that time. And that would be approximately a year from now.
Oh, okay. That helps.
Yeah.
Thank you.
In between now and then, we hope that it's settled by that. We understand that that vote may not be unanimous. We know there's a range of opinions on this council about the traffic lanes, but I think we all probably agree that we don't really have enough information yet. So one of the things we have told them also is that, and while I've showed Ann my list of written comments that I gave to them about things that they are supposed to try to address before your February 10th work session, one of them was, whatever you find out about traffic, you need to do another thorough traffic set of traffic counts in fall of 2022. Hopefully the pandemic will be long gone by then, to see if these changes that they're observing in traffic patterns appear to be more permanent, or were they just because of the pandemic? That's one of the big questions out there. So there's a lot of work yet to happen. And I think that hopefully in the year that we have before municipal consent, that a lot of that will be resolved in some way.
All right. Well, thank you for that. I think the only thing that occurs to me when I read this is, and I don't think it necessarily belongs here, but I want to bring it up because I've been thinking about it. When it comes to transit and the transit that's offered in Crystal, at current day, it's pretty lame. And I don't know if that's, I would assume this, my assumption is that that would change if there was a
a train that went through there, that we would have something that feeds it from the rest of the city. Because right now, to get anywhere via transit in Crystal, it's generally well over an hour from other parts of the community. I don't want to wait till the last part of the design process to bring up some of those concerns. So whenever you see appropriate, please be sure to bring that up. I have a lot of people in my work that's how they get around. And we have some houses in Crystal and it's tough. It's very tough.
Right.
Go ahead.
I wanted to echo that. I think being an inner ring suburb of Minneapolis, it's the connectivity with other like bus routes, and it's a terrible shame that it takes 2 hours to get to downtown Minneapolis. If you're taking one of the buses, and it just goes way, you know, so it's just crazy. We know that. So yeah, if you can work that in there somehow, I think it's relevant. I don't know, here or somewhere else.
So, right.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, I mean, there's people who live like in Penn and 55, and it takes an hour and a half to get over to the meeting over here.
Right.
And that's tough, especially when things are unreliable, as they have been. So, thank you.
I certainly thank you for those comments. I will add, I think I will see first if I can add that to the whereas clauses. Or maybe it's something, I'll look through the report more in depth for that particular issue. And if it's in the report somewhere where we feel it could be addressed more strongly, then we can add that to the four comment items and have a fifth item for that. It's one of those things that was in the design before to improve the Bass Lake Road bus stops to connect, people connect to the light rail. And that's really a design item, but the general goal of providing more than just the trips along Botineau, with those connections to other transit options at the station, can really improve access for people other than those who are within walking distance of the station. So that's a good point. And whether it belongs in the whereas or as an additional comment item, we'll add that somewhere.
Like, whereas we've been historically significantly underserved with public transportation in our community. I think that's appropriate.
I think it is too.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I think otherwise this is great.
Yeah, me too. Anything else? Anyone else? Are you done then? All right.
We were expecting much longer discussion. John did a great job.
He did. Thank you, John. So next is City Manager 2022 Work Planning Council Goals.
Thank you. In your packet, and then later, because I was impatient, of course, I should have waited just a little longer. The revised work plan came back from Karen DeYoung, which I sent out to you. But the goals are still the same, the three goals: strategic planning for implementation of the council's four goals, which I'm assuming are still relevant, strong neighborhoods, thriving business community, sound financial practices or policies, and then making Crystal welcoming and inclusive. So continue to work on that. Personal development, balanced life, blah, blah, blah. Life, work, life balance, whatever.
What is that exactly?
Verbatim. I'll let you know how that works.
Tell us about your self-renewal.
Yeah.
Right. Your strategies for self-renewal.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. I thought good that was stuff. A little over. And then
no, you're good.
One thing I suggested is I thought it might be helpful to bring in someone to help us or the council and staff have to communicate, especially as we walk into inclusiveness and equity. I think it's hard for us to have those conversations. And I thought it might be helpful to have someone come in and work with us about how we communicate and how we can have some of those tough conversations, since I clearly am not an expert, as I just proved, about communications. So that's my one ask. If this makes sense to you, I guess my other ask is, do these three goals make sense to you? And then what I've outlined is that.
On the facilitating greater communication, that's another consultant.
Yes, someone, Karen had an idea for someone. I don't know who it is. I haven't, I thought I'd talk to you before I even do any research.
I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed from the prior consultants and how things came out.
Regarding equity and
inclusion. Yeah. I think we need to have the conversations. I mean, just have the conversations. I don't know if we need another consultant to step in and be an intermediary. I mean, that to me feels almost like, okay, we're not going to really have the conversations. I don't know.
I'm just throwing it out there. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's hard for us to have that conversation. And I get it's a tough topic. I get there's a lot of emotions with conversations.
Yeah, I don't know. Anybody else?
I think that you're right. Like the conversations just have to be had. They are hard, tough conversations. If we are at a point where, anybody could say they disagree, right? That, yeah, there has been times where it has gotten, you know, some little contentious, but I still feel like everybody has a voice, right? In the last 3 years I felt like still a few may not always agree, right? But and even in some of the hard conversations that we have still been able to work through things. I think if we were at a deadlock where we weren't able to have, it's kind of like, we just got to have the conversation, right? And if we're having these conversations and we see that this is spiraling, that we need a mediator, then I would say that, okay, now let's have that, you know, let's have that conversation. Let's have a middle person, you know, come in here and kind of help guide the conversation. I don't want to speak for everybody else, but I think that also forces us to kind of get in that a little bit of that uncomfortable position.
Yep.
and have those conversations.
John?
I'd be curious to talk to Karen about it, see what her take on it. I mean, she's been very helpful, obviously, with Anne's review. So we respect Karen's methodology. So I would be curious to see what she has to suggest. I mean, I don't think we need to like just say nope. I just think we maybe put it at a maybe, yeah.
I think maybe there. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think a maybe is okay too. I think to Brendan's point, I think if I feel like we're not making any progress or it's the same old conversation, then maybe that is the time to come back and say, okay, I feel like we're not getting any. Or for you, I mean, who am I to say? I'm just here for color commentary. That's it.
I think John has very valid right to say, at least what she has to say, right? That's not. Doesn't hurt to ask, right? So
I
think that's wisdom.
Right. Yeah. I kind of echo you and Brendan, Jim. I think we've learned a lot through our previous engagements with consultants, and you know, Karen is kind of on call for us a little bit. Mm-hmm. So she's a great resource to find out if she thinks we're just ready to go forward and be grown-ups about these things, like use the tools we have, you know, walk the walk. It's not going to feel good, you know, but life is like that. So.
Okay. Olivia. Normally, Olivia, this is a time for the council to have conversation amongst themselves. We don't really have that opportunity very often because of open meeting laws. It's something that it's very hard for us to have these conversations in the middle of a council meeting when we're trying to accomplish business. However, I respect that you're here, and I respect that you would like to say something. So I would like to
If you've got some brief comments, I would entertain a couple of brief comments. Oh,
thank you very much. I'll just throw in that as far as inclusion goes, definitely talking to someone of color is beneficial. And yeah, I'll leave it at that.
We have one.
Okay, sorry, I didn't.
No, that's fine.
All right, thank you. All right. Anything else on this work plan?
No, that was easy peasy.
Easy peasy.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
So when are we continuing this discussion? Is there a schedule for that?
For the city manager work plan?
So she's talking about the inclusion.
Yeah, the inclusion.
Oh, we haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. All right. I will refine the communication part as a wait and see kind of thing. Monitor.
All right. So next item is follow up on environmental initiative.
Yeah, this came up at, oh golly, it might have been the last meeting, it might have been the meeting in December. One of the council members asked if the council would be willing to consider an environmental initiative at a future work session. I think it was referred to as a green team, but I maybe remember.
Well, that was wrong. But
oh, okay. But anyhow, so what you have is the proposed resolution that the council member provided me, and I think this qualifies as a symbolic resolution, but I thought the council should talk about it before it goes on the agenda for next Tuesday's meeting. And it's about the climate emergency.
This is basically declaring a state of emergency or a state of emergency for the city.
It's not a climate emergency, not a state of emergency. And there are 15 cities that are working together on this.
I'm aware. I'm aware of that. Yep.
There are three cities that have already implemented it. It's not stating a state of emergency, but it is treating climate change as an emergency.
I've got emails here from November relating to some of the precursor to this particular resolution. This resolution is an absolute boilerplate from those emails.
Right.
It's not Crystal centric, and it's obviously a larger organization trying to get cities to incorporate this so that they have more power at the state level. I'm not sure I want to do that.
Why not?
Because it's not about it. Oftentimes, is not about the stated goal. I mean, what they're trying to do is in the next few weeks here is have an overwhelming state of emergency, is the way they put it in the email. I said no to the state of emergency as a proclamation.
Do you think it needs a new title?
No, I don't. I don't think it's something I want to support at this level. It's an activist organization, and I'm not going to promote that within our council.
Okay, what do you think we should be doing as a council to address climate change?
I think what we do with climate change is already being done at our department levels. I think our staff.
You don't think we should be doing anymore?
I don't think we should be doing this. I don't know what the right answer is. I don't think this is the right answer.
Can I ask, you know, Teresa, I'm just curious because we're part of the Green Step cities. We've done things outside of the Green Steps as well. We have the Environmental Quality Commission and other entities within, you know, outside of Crystal, outside of government that mm-hmm. we partner with. What is it specifically that we're not doing that this would resolve?
It's not that we're not doing things. There is a concerted effort, and I think be part of that momentum of sharing resources, et cetera, so we can all look at how our cities are functioning and treat this like an emergency. And when you have Mark Ray talking about the 100-year flood every 5 years, it's significant.
Yeah, and I'm just curious too, because things that we've been implementing, even as little as adopt a drain or things on a water, things with pollution. I think we're already doing things. I don't think we need to go to this level for a resolution for a climate emergency. I think we all recognize in the world that there is climate change, whether or not that can be solved by man-made stuff. I mean, the things that cause climate change aren't necessarily man-made. And there's that argument outside of this that we could have. But my concern is that down here is where one of the whereases says it's a United Nations body that wants to implement and not control, but just lead the dialogue and lead that these policies. And it's a boilerplate to Jim's point, but it's not locally focused, whereas Green Step Cities and some of the other things with the Pollution Control Agency and other entities out there, and even neighborhood groups that are doing their own thing with bees and all of those things, they're already being done. So I don't see this as, you know, a necessary step as on a piece of paper that's read and put away. I'm more of an action person. And I, you know, it's not that we don't care about climate change and pollution and everything else and what we can do for our part. I just don't think we need a United Nations led document and policy driven thing in crystal. I think what we can empower ourselves as locals to do these things that have that broader impact to help the climate.
Right, but it's not a, you know, either or choice. We could do both, or we could do that and more.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm comfortable with Mark, you know, what we're doing with, we're putting as much budget as we can, and we have conversations with what different water boards. And, you know, I think the efforts within the city are tremendous. I think to your point, Nancy, Green Steps, I think that level three, when you look at Green Steps, that's pretty incredible. I don't necessarily want to sign on to anything coming out of the United Nations. That to me is something I don't want to do.
No way. John? You don't see us being crystal being part of the global economy. I mean, you don't
see we're all crystal. Part of that.
Yeah. So
no,
I mean,
we don't need this document.
Isn't this part of you know being part of that that existence? I mean, isn't that part of you know. Understanding that we do have an issue with global warming, it's a big issue, and that we need to make some changes in terms of you know use of petroleum products, especially coal. You know, as a you know, and that's not just here in the United States. I mean, it's worldwide, right?
It is worldwide, yeah. And I agree with the
greenhouse gas.
Globally, think globally, act yeah. locally thing, but. We're doing things already and we can continue to build on that locally to help the broader cause. I just say we don't need to take a boilerplate United Nations written document that doesn't necessarily tell us that we're not doing things are doing.
Yeah, but aren't we part of the United Nations? I'm kind of surprised that, you know, you don't want to have anything to do with them, but yet we're members of that organization, correct?
We are members of the organization, but the organization has more of a global view mm-hmm. than what most government agencies have. And quite frankly, some of their global focus is something I don't necessarily agree with.
So we're not the biggest polluter? We're not one of
China.
China, and then who's number two?
I don't know, but I don't think
it's
us.
It's the U.S.
It is
US,
not
Russia,
the U.S.
Right?
No, it is yes. not the U.S. U.S. has done more than any country. And here we are talking about national global issues at a council level.
And, just,
and again, here
we're an industrial nation. I mean, we're part of this, you know, this problem. And I think, you know, as a city, we should be supportive of measures to try to resolve that issue, even if it's really small.
And I say we are taking measures with other entities.
So
we don't need a UN.
You agree with this then?
I agree with parts of it. I don't agree with the language that someone is dictating language and telling us that we're not doing things that we are doing.
Okay.
Well, why don't we take out the language?
Hold on. David's got something. Some people
just how I kind of think about it, and we can change. And I know I think Teresa's getting this, but we could change the statement how we will want to. I think of it as. I see climate change as a big issue, and I'm heartened to see like how our departments deal with it in different ways. But this is a way to say, hey, climate change is a big issue. We have a big surplus in the state, and we need to be doing more about climate change because it'll only get worse. And it's a way of pointing that out and possibly directing more funding to us. So I think about, you know, the 100-year floods, right? We have those different ponds. We looked at different ways to solve that. Well, like, we got additional funding. We could have maybe solved that in a different way that, you know, minimize that risk, more risk for floods. And then my other thought was LED lights. We talked about how they're putting some LED lights kind of in waves, basically, because they have funding for that. Well, we could just get it all done if we, you know, advocate for that and say how LED lights would help us lower emissions. And not only that, they just look better because yellow lights are really ugly that they have there. But it's a way to kind of ask for that, like that slice of the pie from the state level and be more active on kind of climate change and stuff. So that's just how I see that issue. And just, I think of it as a way to kind of shed a bigger light on that issue. And we're doing stuff, but let's do even more.
Olga, did you?
Yeah, Olga, why don't you go ahead?
I don't want to say resent, but I really don't like it when like these organizations come in and tell us like they have this great initiative when we've actually been doing all of this already. Like, here's the different action plans, you know, implement a climate action plan. We Green Step Cities really does have that. There's a lot of state initiatives and state incentives that we've been following with like the green buildings and our police building and our public works building. Our public works department, Mark Ray, has been just at the very forefront of this as a professional. We have an environmental quality commission that's, you know, sustainability and resiliency committee that's been doing a lot of things. We are Green Step City moving forward with that. Position City with shovel ready projects. I mean, I don't know what that means, what they're going to require of us. We do have the police building that did receive quite a lot of green a lot of green things incorporated into it. So we have been doing this already. And I kind of, you know, they need a news flash that people are already doing this at the local level. Volunteers are involved, city councils are involved. So I don't, you know, really see how this is like one size fits all statement. I think it will create redundancy since we're already doing this. To have to repackage everything and reorganize everything to match their wording, more busy work for our staff. It's really rather kind of late in the game since we've already been doing this. And I agree that it's like really top down, you know, like beyond the federal government, whatever. So I think we're doing a lot of things and I just don't even see what more we can do.
And rather than
I think there's a lot more we can do. Every single one of us could live up.
Well, absolutely, and we and we had a
tremendous amount more we can do.
Our resident came in with a lot of ideas about he had concerns about the dog park, and now he has his own ideas that we welcomed and absolutely want him to be involved to give us tips on what to do to create a more green city. So absolutely, everybody individually can do a lot.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to mandate from the city council level what our citizens can do in the area of green. I'm not going into that arena. There's no way. No way. That's a different service of government.
I'm not suggesting that.
You absolutely are suggesting that.
We mandate what our citizens
how well, doing? The comments, there's more we can do because people can. The implication is we're going to mandate or we're going to put some type of regulation in place that they must.
Well, there's a big difference between encouraging people to live more environmentally responsibly than mandating stuff. I'd certainly like to see the end of single-use plastic bags in the city of Crystal. I think that would be a big step in the right direction. I'd like to see organized collection for our garbage. So you have one hauler that picks up at every house on the block. It saves wear and tear on the streets. It saves environmental costs, burning fossil fuel to drive that truck around. It's a lot quieter. It's one truck as opposed to seven on a Tuesday. I think that would be a huge step we could do environmentally as a city, to organize collection. At one point, when I looked at it, there were seven licensed collectors in the city of Crystal. This was a while ago. And just divvy up the city. If you have 25% of the city, then here's your 25% that you pick up. And so that one hauler is operating much more efficiently.
And I agree with the plastic bag and the styrofoam containers. I mean, because they don't break down. They're in it, once they're in the environment, they're there. And I just think that would be a big boom for our city to have that eliminated.
I'm not suggest, those are great suggestions because I made them. Sorry, that was a joke. But you know, that's the problem I have. Nobody thinks I'm funny except me, but you know, anyway, I'm digressing. There are more things we can do. And I think if we would, we can take out the language that you guys are opposed to on this resolution, but making a public statement like this and possibly working with the other group, other cities that are doing this at this time and before the legislature meets later this month, take advantage of the momentum and take advantage of it and share resources. And it's not gonna cost us any money.
Anything, Brandon?
This is kind of, I was listening to the hearty debate. kind of like it on the coughs.
I'm sorry about the coughing. Really.
Just timely is good. So I guess where I stand, I guess I'm the monkey in the middle on this one is that. Monkey in the middle meeting, like everybody, there's kind of hearing the opinions, right? There's
three. You're going to synthesize it for us, Brandon.
I have a differing
keystone.
I have, I personally, kind of, you know, my belief as far as where kind of what is our role as a, you know, as a city council and a local governing body. That there, I have issues with a lot of the language of this resolution, right? Kind of in the same thing, and I'm going back to my consistency of even some of the my objections to some of the other resolutions or some of the other languages in the, you know, in those resolutions as to what is our role, right? Am I okay with doing a resolution and making a statement about where we stand as a city for, you know, what is our position on climate change? Absolutely. You know, do we, that climate change is an important issue? I do believe that climate change is an important issue. However, this is getting into a lot of the language that's in this, this thing is, like I said, I believe it's, as it's termed by, you know, other people use it about being a boilerplate. It's kind of a cookie cutter thing rather than it being a resolution that's tailored towards our position as a city of Crystal. So as it stands, the way it's written and the language and where it's at, I am opposed to it. However, I am not opposed to a resolution that is, locally focused, that's Crystal focused, that's in the realms of what we are charged to do, right? And staying kind of in our lane as a city government, because we're not, you know, we're not the county, we're not the state, we're not the federal government, you know, we are, but we do have, you know, we do have things that we can control within those realms and how that affects it. So I think I gave a real political answer in a way, but it's not a simple, yes, I support this, no, I don't. Climate change, I do believe is an important issue, yes. Where this stands as this is written, do I support that? No.
You know, I don't support changing the language and putting it out there differently, not at this time, because again, I do not want to add momentum to a United Nations resolution, you know, because it doesn't matter how we change the words, it's going to be billed as, yes, we support
you know, these objectives from a United Nations perspective, that goes, you know, larger than the federal government. Different time, sure.
Mayor?
Go ahead.
Just a couple thoughts I had. I would love for us to keep moving up the green steps, and I'd be really happy to work with any council member on that, or just encourage staff members to keep pushing us up those steps. That'd be awesome. And I'm a big UN fan, so I'm just really sad right now. I had a second point, but maybe I'll think of it in a second.
I just had a suggestion, because, you know, I agree we can all do our part and we should do our part and do things better and improve always. We have Earth Day coming up in April. We have our EQC. So I'm wondering, maybe we come up with some things, include that group with some ideas and suggestions of things that we can do locally. What are we doing well? What can we do better? And maybe do some kind of proclamation on Earth Day. It's also part of our Arbor Day thing too, that we could focus or do introduce the EQC there as well. Again, I'm a person of action, not hand words in a letter.
And go ahead, you know, David. Maybe one way we could think of it is like a jobs and like spending kind of thing instead of like a climate change thing, because it would help, or it's more of a way for us to respond more hopefully for like climate change stuff. So it's a way to get people working and working on different projects. So like maybe we have to, you know, hire a contractor. So that would be a contractor that wouldn't be working on a particular issue. So we could restate this in a way that's kind of tailored toward jobs and kind of a economic benefit, because there's so many ways to go green that have a could have a really great economic effect in Crystal and, you know, all over Minnesota and the country. So
I did my best. I'm sorry. I didn't understand that. Jobs in, I don't understand.
Job growth? Is that, job growth. You were saying job growth?
Yeah, like a way to, you know, promote jobs. So I think of like, it'd be amazing if we had a way for every citizen to, you know, they could have a account, like say the county, and we promoted it, they had a fund or, you know, a way for every citizen to have a solar panel on their roof. And think about how many houses could build a solar panel on their house, and how many jobs, how many people would need to build those solar panels. So thinking of a statement about climate change as a way to get people working, building, think of people building solar panels. So that's kind of how I would think about it.
Okay. That makes sense. I think so. You'll probably have to go over it again with me later.
Yeah. We can do it.
To be continued, right?
Yeah.
Right.
If we, this emphasis was on a draft of this. If this is reworked, would that be something that we bring up before the council again? Are people receptive to that?
Not in this time period.
What time period then would work for you?
You know, I don't know. I would like to see kind of what comes of this national push. And if we're going to go into fear mode for this national emergency because of the environment, I'm going to be less likely to want to do it sooner than later. However, if this comes off as something rational, yeah, we can move forward kind of like what we're talking about, you know, Earth Day. That makes sense to me. But this whole emergency after the state of emergency with the pandemic thing, and having people live in fear and having this document as something that's coming from the government is not something I want to support. It's and the reason is I've seen so many things locally done in the name of the pandemic that is flat out unconstitutional. I've watched my Catholic Church change the order of the mass based on what happened with the government edicts. These are things that I feel very strongly about. And I don't take this lightly by calling it a state of emergency.
Oh, okay. It seems to me you have a real problem with the word emergency.
I do right now, absolutely.
Okay, so if we take that word out, climate crisis,
climate change in Crystal?
And again, not right now. Not right now.
Okay.
Well, is there an opportunity to, like, you know, to rewrite this document and review it again?
I absolutely agree with Nancy. We have Earth Day coming up. We have Environmental Quality Commission. We have a chance to highlight the actions that we have taken as a city and the actions that private citizens take. And I think it's a very appropriate time to do that during Earth Day. I also do not feel comfortable with the words emergency, crisis, whatever. I don't think that that is appropriate. I don't feel comfortable with that. I hear your point about jobs, David, and I think that's a creative way to approach it. I don't think it's, I think people read through the, read between the lines, you know, what we're talking about, and it's best to just be direct. But I don't feel comfortable with this entire thing. I do really like Nancy's idea. I think that's very creative and very much Crystal focused, because Earth Day has been, Arbor Day has been a great local event for us. That everybody gets together and participates, and maybe we can work something around your idea.
And through social channels, events, things like that. Yeah. I know the EQC had done, and just some council members like KCP came and did a bee demonstration at the plant sale. You know, the Crystal Fund plant sale. Right. So there are all these great opportunities to educate, promote, get more action, and do creatively. I don't think we need this written document. I just don't. I think we need action.
I agree. And in action, and especially to highlight our current action. It's not like we're starting to take action now. Like, we're going to now take action. We have been taking action for years. So, and that's very important to highlight, you know, have some PR around that. And that's inspiring to people to finally, maybe they can jump on board, you know.
Question for Ann. Are we done with LEDs for the streetlights?
No.
How far along are we?
We have it scheduled. I think we do so much in the budget, and I think it's 8 years out to finish them all, okay. I think.
Right. And what about our city buildings? How have we done there?
This, let's see, I think the community center is done. Public works is obviously done. The police side will be done. We're probably the last building.
This not, was changed recently, wasn't it?
Some of them are. I think the offices are not.
Oh, okay. Back there's
most of the, and I don't think the community room is downstairs.
Okay. So we don't have a whole bunch here.
No, no. And we're probably the last one. The fire department just did theirs recently.
Recently? Yep. Years, isn't it?
No, we just got a grant from XO. Brendan will remember. There was discussion at one of the meetings about whether we should be doing it.
Okay. All right. Yep. Good status, as long as David brought it up to know kind of where we're at. Cool. All right.
So that's not on the agenda for next Tuesday. Is that what my understanding is?
Yep. Could we get a summary of where we're at with green steps?
Yes.
So that we just know what step we're on, how far we've come.
Yeah.
And about beyond that, what is the following criteria? You know.
Okay. Yep. I sure
point.
Step. You're right. What next level?
Yeah, it'd be great to learn about that stuff.
Yep. Was there level 3? Didn't we level 3?
Correct.
And I think, are there 4 or
5?
5.
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Get there.
Yep.
All right, thank you. Next is the continued discussion of work plan regarding inclusion.
Okay, based on the last conversation, clearly what I did was far too confusing, and my apologies. I did not mean to make it confusing, but I did. So I tried to boil it down to a 2-page deal, which is mostly what staff can do to sort of implement a lot of the recommendations that came out of those 2 community conversations and staff thinking among ourselves. And then there are several policy questions for the council. One of them, or a couple of them, came out of the community conversations. Regular listening sessions by the city council at offsite places, or alternative times. What does that look like, and how do you structure that? Are they open-ended, or do you bring in community experts or issue experts to do. So that's one policy question. And then the other one is obviously the Human Rights Commission or task force. So I think that's really where the council should spend their energy, but we can walk through the operational changes if you want to, which are the beginning of that, the front, most of that two-pager.
Yeah, I think so. I think we need to walk through it.
Okay, that's fine. So I'm looking at this that says equity and inclusion work plan operations, operational things. One of the changes was celebration of diverse cultures, host community events that draw diverse audiences. Recreation is already doing that. And there are groups within the city that are partnering like ASER and totally drawing a blank with recreation that want to do that. So we've already done some. We'll continue to do that. The more connections we make with other community or with communities of color within the community.
On the festival level, I don't think that should be city run.
It doesn't have to
be. You know what I mean?
It doesn't have
to be. I don't know. There aren't many of these types of things that are done at the city level. They're usually done by exterior organizations, kind of like the way Frolics is run.
I think that is true to grow it. I think it may take us to start it.
Okay. I think that's good, like a partnership.
Right, right. Like the Frolics has become a partnership between Frolics Committee and Recreation. But I think it's going to take partners with not just the city, though. Clearly, I agree with that. Because we need to have other groups.
It's a resource-driven thing.
Yep. Okay. And then this is a conversation for you, continued use of Zoom for access to council meetings, which I think is a great idea. I do think the downside is work session conversations are hard in this room because you can't be looking face to face. You know, I think that is really hard. Now, the good news is with the new community room as part of the police building, they are gonna have much better technology for Zoom meetings so that you can have good audio, good video. Mm-hmm. Which is right now, that's why we're in here, because this is the only room that has really good audio or the ability for the public to call in and for you to see them and them to hear you. So it's a limitation. I'm sorry about that because I really do miss the work sessions.
Right.
In a room. Not.
Okay.
And then work with representatives of ethnically specific groups or communities of color to address needs in programming and find out the best ways. Now, obviously, that's happening. Some of you are familiar with, and I totally think it, Carmen Bibiano trying to reach out and connect the city with the Latino community. Mm-hmm. And so several departments are working with her. We've tried with the faith community to try to connect with some of those. There's other African communities that various departments. So it's just trying to continue those connections and expand those connections and work with those communities. And of course, the police department has the MAC, which is also trying to do that. A very specific focus, just police, but they are doing that. So that's what I mean by that. Review city facilities policy to make them more accessible to all groups. That's really primarily the community center to make sure that they're available for quinceañeras and other culturally specific events. And I know John has done a lot of work on that, but I know he wants to do more work on that. And then police community forums to learn, educate, and bridge gaps. You know, Stephanie is really committed to that. We took a year off last year, but we did one in 21, and I assume we'll be doing at least one in 22. This next one, I think, is a great idea. Plan a civic academy, hopefully in the next 2 years, to develop an understanding of all city functions and the limits of city authority. I believe Hopkins does it, and I've always wanted to do it, but we've never just kind of, the time hasn't been right, or we haven't made the time. So I would really like to do that. And in the interim, we have the Mayor's Podcast and the Chief's Chat Podcast, which I think are not specifically that, but I think give a glimpse into how the police and fire departments work and a glimpse into what the mayor's, the subjects of the mayor's podcast, like the one you just did about the limits of city authority. Mm-hmm. And in the past, you've talked about utilities, you've talked about zoning, you know, so I think there are many ways to do that. So the next one is utilize Latino media, and I think there's other media too, specific to groups to reach diverse audience for recreation programs, for jobs, for things like that. Host events on Eventbrite. I have no idea. All I know is I get stuff from Eventbrite about concerts. So that's all I know. I don't know what it is. So that needs researching. Use Google Translate and ABA technology for our website. And we do use that. Mike does have a way at the bottom of the website to translate. And then along with that, translate brochures and park signs into other languages. The challenge is, of course, how many languages, or do you do a QR code and then it can come bring up? I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know that, but that's just one of the ideas. We're
kind of like, where do you draw the line?
You're right, right. Right. And then this is already going on. Mail public hearing and media notices to renters and business tenants in addition to the property owners. John Sutter deserves credit for this. He started doing this a long time ago, that it makes sense to notify everyone, not just.
That was like 6 years ago.
Yeah. He deserves a lot of credit for that.
That was part of that print, plain language. And,
yep. You know, exactly. Trying to make sure. Right. Yep. Right. And then engage diverse voices. I think that's what this is all about, an overarching thing, but just talking about that. Making removal of restrictive covenants on property deeds simple and easy to do, or simple and accessible. And John again gets credit for that. That's on the website. We've been doing the Just Deeds Project, participating with Bowdoin Valley and I don't know, some of our neighboring cities on that. And I know we've had some takers and some interest in that.
Yeah, that was. Wow, is that a year ago already?
Yeah, Golden Valley's been working on it for a long time, and it took a while for them to get it all pulled together. And the county's been great on that too.
I know I worked with some business people, and they actually brought it to my attention. Says, "Hey, are you guys part of this?" I said, "No, but we will be." Yep. So.
And then researching other social media platforms for reaching diverse audiences. Mike is looking into that, what makes sense, what we're doing. And I think we do default to social media. I think we can't always default to that. I think old fashioned written stuff is important too. So looking at that.
That's a weird space right now.
What?
Social music or social media.
I mean, I just had a, you know, we're talking about non-electronic communication, and even as we kind of navigate in this as we navigate in this COVID environment, I'm not going to get in onto, you know, that, but the reality is it's here, it's not going away, right? But you know, I think it would be right where we have some town halls or things in different wards, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know, that are that, you know, I mean, that we created the opportunity, right? Because you have people who are not just, you know, social, like you said, yes, we default to social media, but you have, there's a large segment of our population that still, that they don't, you know, use it, or if they use it, they're not using it to engage with the local government. Now, however, we still have it as a platform, and that it's open and available and accessible, right? So that we're not closing that door, but we, oftentimes, you know, begin to rely heavily on that. I say we just kind of as a society, when the reality is there's a lot of people that they don't have it, or that's just not even on their, you know, when you start talking about analytics and how things work, that this is not going to pop up on their page anyway, because they're not looking at local government stuff. And so by doing something, having, you know, a quarterly town hall or something in, you know, in section one, or, you know, section two, or something that makes it, you know, makes it accessible, right? That way, you know, you have, you know, for example, if it's in section one, you have, you know, we're all out there, right. But it's in that area too.
Yep.
Not saying,
yep.
Oh, well, you know, it's here. So just, I was thinking about that. It was just notes, and then I'll let you finish.
I like that, because I want to, that's what that, I like that idea. Would you do it just as a town hall, come hear us hear, let us hear you talk, or do you want to have, would you do a topic specific? Like today we're talking about, is the moon green? I'm just making stuff up. But you know,
that should be a safe one.
No, if you're colorblind, probably not.
Oh boy, here we go.
No, I mean, that's kind of where it does get, you know, it can't, when you just open it up, right? But at the same time, I think that's just how you, people that are engaged or that, you know, want to know mm-hmm. that it's, you know, there. And yes, I'm, trust me, of all people, I am not, I'm probably not going to be the one that says I want to advocate for another meeting, right? But the reality is, you know, that it's, you know, open up where people are, you know, feel, you know, they may not, no, right? They don't know how to engage in, or they may have questions. They may not know that they can. There's a lot of people that still don't know what a city council, you know, that's why I love that the civic the civic academy, right? But there's a lot of people who don't know what the format is for you know, city council meeting. What does that look like? That if you know that there's a, you know, a time where they can come and talk to the, you know, that they don't know that that exists. Right. And so having something where they can come ask questions, right? You know, like, hey, you know, I'm your councilman, you know, council member person, right? And okay, right, here, you know, here are some different other, you know, functionings of, you know, local government. But like I said, especially when you have people who are not technologically, you know, inclined or friendly, they don't know how to use it, or they're afraid, or just what have you, you know, that it's just more like my grandparents. They would rather just try to show up and ask questions, because, you know, my grandmom had that, she called me 4 times because she can't figure out why her iPad's not charging. And so I had to like sit there and try to walk her through, and she's like, you know, 5 states away. Like, you haven't been using your iPad? Well, it didn't charge, so I didn't. Okay, but I just use that as a, you know, as an example. Where something that I think is so, is just almost second nature, right? That, and then even people of like our even like same generation, they just don't know, right? So creating more ways to be accessible, I think it's always.
I think so. You know, the point that I was thinking when I first made my comments was, you know, we talk about WhatsApp and TikTok, and those are apps that have come to the forefront, but there's an awful lot going on, kind of like in the Twitter realm and competition to Twitter and then competition to Facebook, that some of those are, they're not as centrally used as they used to be. And some people are starting to move away. So all of a sudden now we've got more and more and more platforms that we have to deal with. So that was kind of my comment for the platforms, that this becoming a little bit more difficult moving forward, because the space is changing as well. Just that's for the computer literate, and not to take away from your comments, because your comments are, you know, they're right on.
We're gonna have to prepare for the metaverse. I say that tongue in cheek, but you know, I mean, I remember people say, you know, oh yeah, we got this Facebook thing, and now it's, you know, it is a, you know, I'm not going to let my head go too far into that. But the reality is something that's coming, you know, and are you resistant to the change, or do you figure out how to roll, you know, roll on top of the wave, or you get swallowed up?
That's about 3 nights worth of conversation right now.
That's what I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I just realized my door is about to open.
Do you still have David, you need to poke. You're like at the wrong age.
I was just kind of thinking on Brendan's. I really like what the Parks and Rec Commission does, and maybe it doesn't work for us. Well, every summer they go to a different park, and they keep track of like what park they have last been to. Mm-hmm. And maybe we want to do something like that. I mean, I don't know, you know, it seems a little crazy, but my one thought was like, maybe we can move a work session around the city, but there's a whole bunch of issues with that. But, or maybe some way to have like a, hey, there's, you know, every quarter we have like a, here's some city council people at, you know, at Starbucks, or, you know, something like that. Or maybe build up other events. Just some random thoughts, you know, I had. I don't know.
I don't like what you just did there. What? That work session? Don't torpedo that. Great idea. Why couldn't we do a work session in a different location?
The problem would be recording.
Yeah.
Right. How do you record?
Recording is a, it's not a mandatory thing. It's a policy that we've put in place.
Right. That's right. True.
So right. when we have something in a different location, we could still do it.
Mm-hmm. We could still take old fashioned notes.
And we can still put an impressive tape recorder and catch what we
have had to, too. Yeah. Where is the tape recorder now?
It's gathering dust. To Mike's chagrin, he bought new microphones for you, and now you know.
Sad. So maybe we'll bring them out, David. So there you go.
That's not a bad idea. And for future notice, if I'm not seeing you, don't be afraid to tap me, because I remember when Julie Dasher was sitting there, she said, "How come you don't ever call on me? Why I don't see you?" It's a thing. Mm-hmm. It really is. So
it's a blind spot.
Well, and too, I was like, well, I don't know. I was kind of hemming and hawing about my thoughts on that.
Okay. Did you have something, Olga?
No.
That was just helpful.
That was okay. It. Yeah.
Oh, and I love the idea of a traveling work session, or
particularly outside.
Yes.
Kind of my thoughts. It's really great to be outside at those meetings in the summer.
I don't want to be outside right now.
No, right now it doesn't quite work that way.
Today's going to be better than next week.
Yeah.
True.
Only out today.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a great idea.
Good comments. Thank you.
Okay. Every city around us has either an equity commission or a human rights commission. I think so.
Yeah,
that's
coming up, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's coming up.
I'm sorry.
All right.
You read ahead, Therese. You went way ahead. And then just encourage, this is just a simple one that I think we all do anyhow, encourage residents about opportunities to get involved. And I think we do when we have someone, like you did the other night when that gentleman mm-hmm. was here, and encouraged him to apply for the EPC, which he in fact did, and you'll interview him next week. So.
That's fantastic.
Good job.
That's awesome.
Well, as a comment,
yeah, go ahead.
And that's something like I thought about, and you know, like part of, you know, how do we, you know, encourage residents, right, to get more involved. Yeah, I kind of also, again, is another one of those, some people just really just don't know, right? So, you know, looking at things, we look at, I really love the diversity of our schools, right? You know, like we have Fair and Forest, they both have student councils, right? You know, what can we do things where we encourage them, or even like the local, or maybe even, you know, Kevin, that we reach out to, you know, all the different, even some of the high schools where they can, when they're doing their own thing and they're not really getting involved and getting an understanding of what's at the city level, right? That even that it could spark something in one of these kids that, oh, hey, you know, I can run for city council when I'm, you know, when I'm 18, right? You know, I mean, I would love to see that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, probably, you know, I don't know who, or I mean, probably not, I don't know if anybody on the council would be like, well, I don't know. But, you know, like, how do we, you know, increase, I don't necessarily know the answer, right? But it's like, we do something where we engage the youth, especially in our schools here, are incredibly diverse, right? And I'm not saying the older generation is lost, right? But what I'm saying is that, you know, when we or even expose ourselves more, right, that they're like, oh, you know, I'm at Fair a lot by default because of my son, right? Mm-hmm. And even myself, I often, well, I'm just Brendan, right? But Principal Ross is always like, no, this is Council Member Banks, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is Braden's dad, right? And you see something like these kids look at you different, mm-hmm. right? Not, you know, it's not like putting you on a pedestal, but like, oh, you're mm-hmm. Braden's dad, you know, like making it seem, you know, very more real, which makes it more intriguing rather than, you know, where there's no interest at all. So, and I don't necessarily know, like I said, the answer, but you know, I always think, you know, I've always kind of been a little disappointed in our lack of interaction, especially with the schools. You know, it's always been something that has just kind of been disappointing, you know, to me, you know, but that's just kind of my own personal soapbox.
That's all going to change this summer. Go ahead, Ned. So.
Brendan, I don't know if we were all together during that, you know, was it 3-4 years ago when you were elected and we went to a League of Minnesota Cities training. Didn't one of the council members from another city said that they do a council meeting at a school, like once a year? Hmm. Or maybe they could do it more often. I don't know, twice a year, but they get the kids involved. and in leading a meeting and showing, you know, kind of a civics course. I thought maybe that's a way to do it.
Yeah, something, you know, I mean, like I said, when you get that, when you, I don't know if Armstrong or Cooper still have, you know, they still have civics class, right? But, you know, well, I'm, yeah, it's been a while since I've been in high school, and I don't have one going to high school yet next year, right? He'll be a freshman. But that how, right, that it's like, you know, they were, hey, whoever the teacher of the civics, you know, class, you know, the governmental class is like, well, hello, here, you know, here's a way that you can incorporate something into your curriculum, you know, for that semester or what have you, that forces, you know, that puts the students in some sort of engagement, you know, where, you know, they come to a city council meeting, right? They kind of listen in and take notes, right? Or there's something where, you know, we, or maybe we go there to the school, and it doesn't have to necessarily be a, I know with our, we have our, not our restrictions, or we just have what guides us for meetings and things like that. But I do think that there is a way to be intentional. And I, again, I just think about the our schools, the Robbinsdale, you know, 281 is incredibly diverse on so many different levels, from not just, you know, race, but, you know, even different economic, you know, classes and things like that. And so when you expose that, you know, and even kids, there's oftentimes, I mean, all of my kids come home and they tell me stuff, and I'm like, you know, I didn't know that. Or, you know, right, it's just kind of all these different things. And it's just, I think it's just I don't know if it's outside of the box, but it's just a different,
you know,
way.
I don't think it is outside the box. I know it reads something like it has to be reasonable for people in the community to be able to attend it. So you can't go too far. I'd be curious to see what Troy's opinion is at a school. I mean, if we're in the same school district, our own school district, to me, that doesn't feel like it should be too far out of the realm of where people can have access to the council meeting as a public meeting. So I think that's something we can investigate. And I don't see why we couldn't do it at a school, you know, if they're willing to host us. We would probably want their civic or student government to.
That's what I'm saying. It's something. Yeah. But I've Principal Jackson and Principal Ross are good.
Yeah.
Well, if I may, really quick. I mean, I think, like, if we just have a council meeting in a school, it's like, that's kind of weird. No one's, I mean, like, they're like, okay, here's a council meeting. But, like, engaging very intentionally, specifically, like you said, Brandon, with, like, the student council, or specifically with kids who are, like, already kind of involved. Is a really great opportunity. I mean, right now with COVID, with everybody going distance learning and Zoom, I mean, you can't come near anybody in inside a school building. So that's kind of off, but you can easily utilize Zoom for that, for these meetings. I do remember the days pre-COVID where we had the DARE graduations and council meetings, got to show up and we shook everybody's hand, and I can't imagine shaking children's hands now, but that was really cool because they felt really, valued and affirmed by somebody who's generally not in touch with them very often. So I really
used to go to classrooms and read.
Excited. Yeah, reading in the classroom.
Long time since I've been in a classroom and read, you know.
But this intentional kind of, hey, we're here and we're inviting the students to interact with us specifically is a really good, it just makes me really excited. So thank you for that.
All right. Next.
Okay, and then let's see, just ask commissioners from underrepresented communities or communities of color how to reach others within those communities, which is really what the MAC is about, but try to expand that.
What, what was the?
Try to ask communities from our people, representatives, commissioners. And then this one was directly from one of the community meetings. Remove gender question if it isn't necessary, or offer a binary option if gender identification is necessary. I don't think we do a lot of that anyhow, except for I think what we do.
Is this like the pronoun? Oh no, that's the next item.
Pronouns. This is male, female, other.
What, Janet, would you?
That's why we don't, you know, and I think the only thing we might collect that on, and we never see it, is for EEOC purposes. But we never, you know, we just tabulate, it doesn't go with the application or anything, it's separate. And then utilize staff pronouns and email signatures. You know, let people decide what pronouns they want to be referred to as.
Well, that was a showstopper, sorry.
Sounds great.
To make
yep.
That. Is that an good. Optional thing where staff can do that now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. And some staff have chosen to do it. Some staff have chosen not to, and probably will.
So we're already there.
Whatever, yeah.
Right.
Is there something more that we need to do?
Nope. It's really a staff preference. I mean, we haven't, some organizations have made it a big organizational-wide deal. We've just sort of said, if that's important to you, please feel free to do it. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter.
I think that's enough.
Okay.
Also on the screen.
Oh, yeah. Pay equity. Yep. That's true. We have to report it. Pay equity. Thanks, Kim. Yes.
Okay.
Non-binary. And then continue using comp plan, ADA plan to inform capital investments. This was really regarding access, getting to the conversation earlier about Blue Line, transportation being an issue within the city. So that's really trying to guide, use our existing plans to guide where we make investments, capital investments. And it may not belong here, but it was one of the things that came out of one of the community conversations. And then Kim was working on this, evaluating our recruiting process and our job descriptions to be sure that we're not, what's the word I want, unintentionally narrowing a pool by some sort of arbitrary requirement. So she's going through and looking at that, but obviously that's kind of a lot. So as jobs come up, she does it typically.
Okay.
And then diversity training and resources for staff. Just looking at what that might look like in options for internally. And we used to do diversity training. It had different names, but we haven't done it in a long, I would say probably in the last 5 years. And obviously we haven't done anything in the last 2 years for obvious reasons. But so that's what I came up with based on all that stuff I gave you before in terms of what we're doing internally to try to address some of those needs. Okay. And or with your help. And then it seems to me, then there are three outstanding policy questions that the council really needs to talk about. You've actually already talked about the two of them, the regular listening sessions at non-city sites and community meetings. Then the other one is a human rights commission or a task force or something. And so I think at the last meeting, someone suggested a comparison of what city neighbors around us do. So you have an attachment to that that just compared Brooklyn Center or Brooklyn Park, Golden Valley, Brighton, New Hope, and Robbinsdale. And then someone mentioned what Crystal Residents for Change wanted. So that's a comparison of what they do. They sort of all kind of do some of the same. There's a lot of overlap, but there's some standout stuff. The one thing I thought after I sent this out is maybe instead of starting with this, maybe the council really should consider an equity policy. You have a lot of equity comments within our personnel policy and elsewhere, but maybe it needs to be centralized as one equity policy. I don't know, to help guide some of this.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the whole point of going through that with the consultants is so that we could have a statement or have the conversations here and have a direction and try to solve something. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just to go out and just do something to virtue signal. It was just do something that's going to be specific.
So I'll shut up.
I guess I'll try to wait for comments here. Where did you
sure?
Were you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I know this is, I think, kind of ultimately, right, was the, I would say, the precipice, right? This was as a human rights commission, right? There was a lot of hot topic when I first came on to the council. Also, even as it come up several times here, and one of the driving factors and with the group Crystal Residents for Change, right?
Right.
And kind of it's what spurred, and along with what is going on, you know, socially, you know, and throughout the country, the conversation nationally, you know, and here in our state, and here also locally. I was actually, when I saw what Golden Valley is doing, right? And I looked at that, and having been a part of like corporate, you know, DEIs, and going
corporate what?
DEI, sorry, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Or right? DEI.
Yeah. Okay. And even like when you look at, like, I thank you for breaking it out and down when you like talk about the purpose, right? You know, the name, the purpose. You know, I know, yes, we can, it, I think the name does kind of, it is important, right? Just like I stood on the grounds, right? We're talking about how I felt about the police station, right? Or the police building, kind of the naming of it. And I just like when I looked at it, I was like, wow, that is, it's broad, but yet direct. That makes any sense as we continue to have these conversations, right? Like the purpose is to promote and nurture a safe and welcoming community dedicated to the values of social equity, inclusion, and justice, right? It's almost a key piece of one of the tenets that we set as our, you know, as a council priority, right? Advise and make recommendations to the council in matters relating to diversity, equity, inclusion, and human rights, right? So, you know, yeah, it'd be like creating another commission or another group, but there are people that are very passionate about it in our community, and this, you know, we give them an opportunity to serve, you know, the community in an area that they're passionate about, right? That gives us advisory, you know, an advisory body in those matters. And even when you look at, I guess, kind of the roles and the duties that they have, I'm excited about the Fox Elder book. You know, that you have a group, right, that we could as a council, but it would be very cumbersome to, as a council to, right, analyze. I mean, the same things, right, when we had a charter commission, right, what did they do? They were tasked with going through and reviewing the charter, right, the same, and all these other different commissions, right, that so you have this commission that, and giving them specific roles and duties of, right, analyzing the city's processes and procedures. And I mean, I don't need to read it, you know, verbatim, but like when you look at all of those different things, and it's like, I was like, wow, how come I didn't find that before? Like, whereas there's all these kind of, some of these other things I think that kind of get, you know, like if I look at Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Park's a bigger city, right? And it kind of, when I just look at how, you know, I guess how it's laid out, the way it's just laid out from Golden Valley, I don't know, it made me personally, and, you know, kind of where I feel like we also stand as a local governing body, you know, and then even listening to different feedbacks and comments, you know, that I know and understand from other underserved, you know, segments of our population, right? I'd say the minority, right? You know, people of color, right? That this is something, I'll put it, one of the problems that I also have is as a Black man, when I have white men or women telling me what I need as a citizen, right? As, oh, this is what you want. No, how are you gonna tell me what I want? You know, you didn't ask me, you're just sitting here telling me what should be equitable, you know, or what inclusion looks like. And so I think this presents a platform, you know, but then it's also getting people to the same thing. We're trying to get people to serve on a commission, stuff like that. So
anyways. Interesting, that last comment.
Well, that's, I kind of like threw that out there because it's also been something that gets, I would say, if you were to have a real raw conversation, there's things out there on the internet. It's like, I think there's a book, you know, Conversations with a Black Man, right? One of the most frustrating things for a minority is when you have the majority telling you how to feel, right?
Yeah, I actually wrote that on my comments on one of these because it's right.
You know, it's like this is perpetuating the issue rather than asking me how I feel or putting me, you know, in a position to communicate how I feel. You're telling me, right, you're creating a body or a group, and you're advocating for change, but yet, you know, what is your platform that you're advocating for? Who are you advocating for? You know, where are you getting your feedback and such? So anyway, I kind of, this, yes, this is often my soapbox, if you will, or something that I continue to be very passionate about for, I would say, obvious reasons. Anyway, when I look at it and everything, not that I'm opposed to a human rights commission. I know that just like with names, that it triggers, you know, people, and the same reason that I was saying, you know, we should really look at the name of the police department, right? And not calling it the police department, but, you know, the public safety building, right? It's because, you know, I don't know if anybody sitting here on this council, like, yes, I was a police officer, but I can tell you where I grew up, you know, and being younger, that there would have never been a time that I wouldn't have thought that I would have been a police officer, that I would have been, that it's ingrained in you to be afraid of police, right? And you can't know what that's like, right? Because of, you know, just because we were raised different. We had just different backgrounds. You know, and so think, you know, that's why I'm always looking at it from, you know, a 360 view, not just from my perspective, you know, my lens of life, but that we have a diverse community and that they have different lenses and they look at things differently. And what may be intimidating or restrictive to me may be more accessible to you, or what I feel is, oh, this is open, is something that's intimidating for somebody else, you know, it doesn't make it more accessible for them just because I think it is for me, right? And so how do we create the same thing? How do we create more avenues for people to feel that they have a voice, you know, to get involved with a voice, and to help educate too, right? Because I don't have all the answers. I just have my experiences in life. And even though I'm 36, you know, but I've had a wide range, you know, and I've lived in different parts of the country. I've lived in inner city. You know what? I know what it's like to be homeless. You know, I know what it's like to, you know, come home and the only thing in your refrigerator is water, right? And you're waiting for your mom to get off of her third job, waiting tables to bring food home so that you can eat, right? And that's still a very real thing in our society today. Even though we have, you know, EBT or food stamps, whatever it is, even though we have, we have a SNAP, you know, we have local food shelves that distribute food. There are still, you know, we're the richest country in the world, and we still have kids that go hungry, you know, that are going hungry, or all of these different things. And I know I kind of broadened it out and just saying, I'm speaking from my personal experience. And, you know, and then because we get caught up on all these different, you know, things. And so anyway, I really love what Golden Valley is doing there. It's very exciting, like, to look at that. And it's like, I would, you know, as we look at this and we continue to have these real conversations, I think that is something I would really love for us to look at, even almost how that's structured.
I agree. I think that's a great point. I think you've, you know, laid it out well, and I think it's a, I think it's something that as a council that we should explore.
I agree. I just heard that. Third, right? I think it's a great
idea. Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead, Olga.
And I absolutely agree that our community needs a group that is focused in a very healthy way on, you know, addressing these, having a purpose and roles that Golden Valley seems to be, you know, has framed in a really accurate and focused manner. What I've learned from our recent process with our consultants, you know, being at the table, listening to the input from the various players or community members, is that the kind of diversity, inclusion, DEI pool is really divided within itself. So my concern is, as we create, or as these cities have created these groups and commissions, it inadvertently creates exclusion rather than inclusion. One particularly concerning sentiment that I heard was that the immigrants of color who are recent new immigrants, African immigrants in the United States, actually don't have the same voice at the table as African-American native-born communities of color because they don't share the, so then you have to make these distinctions. Who has the voice at the table and how much does their voice count? And I've heard similar sentiments directed towards me as a white woman, but an immigrant, that I don't really share the American struggle for independence and capitalism. And I don't really understand these things because I was born and bred in a communist country. And so my mindset needs to be changed and my voice isn't really valid in this political process, or it's not quite what it should be. It's immature. My voice is not mature enough because of my experience, because of my family. And so I might somehow be still polluted with these mindsets that I brought in. So I found that sentiment to be alarming. And I don't really know how to navigate that as we create an organization at the government level. And so I continue to maintain and advocate that we should have a non-government group in Crystal so that we don't really, I don't think it's possible to really navigate these waters and these conversations without some serious damage, I suppose, to certain people. And I don't think it's really fair to them. So how do we include everybody and represent everybody, and we don't rate their voices based on their place of birth and their American experience or lack thereof? And I understand that each group has a different need. So how do we address those needs? So, and that's a concern for me.
What do you mean by each group has a different?
Well, there's immigrants from white countries, immigrants from African countries. There are native-born African-American communities. There's urban African-American communities and people who are transplants, Minnesotans and LGBTQ and LGBTQ people of color. So everybody has a different need. There's neurodivergent communities. So how do we address their need and how do we rate their voices? And, people are rating people's voices. People are saying, well, your opinion is less, even though you're a person of color, your opinion is still less because you don't share my history. So you don't really have an opinion on this particular topic. So and that is, was this our place? It was very explicitly. Yeah. So is this our place as a council? And how can we approach this?
So if you recall, one of the first times, I think it was the first meeting, Brendan, that you were in, we had a conversation with Karen DeYoung, and we had maybe you weren't here yet. I think you were.
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah. You don't think he was?
Julie was.
Before that?
Yeah.
I think so. We had some conversations and this idea of voices, some voices being heard, some not being heard. I think I made some comments, and it would, like, I wanted to make comments to you after your commentary, because I think we share a very similar past in terms of how we feel about, grew up with police, having poverty in our background, some of that stuff. Obviously poverty doesn't care about skin color. And I withheld initially saying something because when I did, as a white man, I was now being insensitive of your lens, which is not my intent. So your lens can be, but yet mine can't be. That's the way it was in that conversation. And it got really hot. And I wasn't the only one who made comments about, their lens. And again, kind of to Olga's point, that's what makes this difficult. The conversation, the conversations of, some of the people who are at here are bringing in all kinds of things that are divisive in terms of they're not bringing us together, that they're kind of creating more division. And that you spoke to that in terms of kind of two separate, I guess, hearts for inclusion, you know, because you got to have the right heart for inclusion, and it can't be a matter of shutting one group down and bringing another group up. You know, it's about bringing all the voices, even the existing voices. In you know, at this point in time, I say something like that, and I know because I understand what CRT is, white fragility. I'm going to get pushback immediately because I'm saying something which they completely disagree with, that maybe I don't have a voice when in some of these conversations. Well, that's not the way they look at it. They look at it in terms of, wait a minute, your power. You know, you have a voice and you have power. Therefore, back off. You know, your comments, your viewpoint isn't valid here. And that's very real. I mean, we experienced that when we had guests here in a city work session, and it's amazing the things that were said before that work session without a conversation even being started. So these things create apprehensions for. I guess I've said this a lot of times in my travels, not necessarily publicly, but it becomes a less safe place. And I know, Brendan, you've heard me say that time and time again. And why would I step into this conversation as a white man with a stipend of about $10,000 a year so that I can have a conversation, and before word one comes out, I'm going to be clobbered with all kinds of titles and all kinds of accusations as to what I believe. To your point, you haven't said what you believe. You've been told what you believe. And this whole conversation, it's okay for you to have that experience, but is it okay for me to have that experience? And I don't see them very different. And again, that comment alone can be inflammatory. Well, that's the problem. You don't see the difference. Okay, so it's acceptable to put my voice down. It's acceptable to not have me have a public comment. So this is very, very difficult in terms of conversations to have in a public forum. And when it comes down to it, I don't think we're ready there. I don't think we have the problem that we need to solve to formulate this yet. I think we need to keep having the conversation though. Go ahead, Brendan.
I guess that one, because I mean, you and I, you know each other really well, right? But I would challenge your line of reasoning. We are ready. In fact, saying that we're not ready is a continuation of why we're still here, right? And I'm not just talking about, it's not saying this, us as here as a council, but I would say here as a society, right? When you look at the arc and the broad, we look at the historical context from where we start talking about, if we're even just talking about you know, the span of the United States, when the end of slavery, the civil rights movement, right? When, you know, and any time there's been setbacks, right? Or one of the things, you know, it's the resistance. We are all resistant to change. And this is kind of one of those things that I feel like even what Golden Valley does, I would tell you that the positioning of that, I would say, is a safer one than that could be, or something else that would be seen more progressive or not, right? It's kind of also one of the reasons, truthfully, why I like it,
right? Because it the way it's positioned, the way it's worded, it is a safer place that gets more buy-in, more middle ground from, because the reality is we're gonna have people on that are on the far right and on the far left. And we're giving them way too much voice, right? That they're speaking for the majority, right? In that same context, you know, without going down too far down a rabbit trail, right? You know, I, as a former police officer, someone who's been involved in police reform during my time, and even still now after, right? The conversation, when you look at the tenets of defund the police, the first thing I said, well, wow, that's really dumb, right? That you're gonna say that, because how are you going to get buy-in when in fact, in reality, if you sit there and have a conversation with you know, some cops behind closed doors, that many of the things that they are talking about in the platform of defund the police, that they agree with, right? Because guess what? Cops didn't sign up to be dog catchers, right? We've put too much burden on cops and we're putting funding in, you know, what the police mission, when that's not their job. We need to put more money into having social workers. We need to put more money into having, you know, all these other different, you know, things that they're better equipped and educated with to handle these situations versus a police officer. You send a police officer to a 911 call with a gun, right? Because now if there was no gun, when they show up, now there's a gun there and you have someone who's having a mental breakdown. And they're, you know, it's perceived as aggression, and maybe they do something and the police officer is justified in using a higher level of force, but we put that officer as a community in a position to do that versus having sent a mental health professional there to deal with that situation. Does that make sense? So I'm kind of going off. I went off on a rabbit trail with that, right? And I'll circle back to, right, to say, where when you're looking at, right, at the whole defund the police thing, it was just a bad name.
How do you, right, define that? Right. You can't define that. Defund the police, right? Because it just comes off, you know, you can't, right, say, well, no, it means other things. No, because defund the police.
Well, it makes it sound like you're getting rid of the police. Yeah, and kind of where I'm going with, yeah, that is if you go ask the people in, even over in Minneapolis, where it's surging the crime, go over to North Minneapolis. I tell you, no, we don't want to get rid of the cops.
Right.
We need the cops. I don't feel safe. Yeah. I've got my kids that are getting shot, people that are getting robbed on a regular basis, where there's guns. It's not a good situation, right? We in order to continue to have where people, we can receive the benefits and the things of, you know, and the basic tenets of our constitution, right? That's why we have, you know, the police. That's why we have law enforcement, right? So to get rid of them doesn't solve the problem, right? Some of the functions and things that they're doing, yes, right? You know, and even kind of had alluded to it, you know, before. Yes, public safety is our biggest thing. We're dumping a lot of money into it. Are we dumping into it the right way, right? And you know, should it be, you know, when you have a community that invests, you know, heavily into their parks and into their streets and into their things, right? Those aren't communities with a lot of crime problems, right? You know, I haven't seen a community that's heavily invested into their parks and recreation have a lot of problems, you know, in that area, right? So it's kind of where are you allocating it, right? I'd say look at the cities that have very high public safety dollars as far as what they're investing their money in, the crime rate is also pretty high too, right? I mean, this is just numbers. Anyway, bringing it back, I mean, that's just bringing it back once again. I believe we are ready to have the conversation and saying that a problem to be solved. There's been a problem to be solved for, you know, because it's always been a problem, right? And the thing is, it's our fear and we would rather not have conflict, you know. And you all know me very well. I am a peacemaker, all right. I'm a conflict resolution person, but I'm not afraid to have difficult conversations. And we as a society have been afraid to have difficult conversations, and I think we have evolved and grown. And as a society, that we are ready to have these conversations. not for just our sake, but for our kids and our grandkids' sake, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it's something that I'm uncomfortable with, right? It's for, that's laying it out for that the next generation, you know, the conversation needs to be had, because if it doesn't, when are we going to start? You know?
I agree.
Okay. And I mean, I absolutely, and we're having this conversation right now, so we can't like just not talk about this. So it's part of being a grown up, and I think we are here and we can't stop. My concern is, when we talk about inclusion, who do we include? Do we include the people that think that Liberian immigrants should not get business loans because they're not really Americans and they haven't had the struggle African Americans born in America? So when they advise us on business policies, is this going to be a business policy they think we should, you know, include? Because that opinion is out there in our city, and that really concerns me. So how do we include those people? What kind of screening process do we have? Who gets on this particular commission? And how do we protect the voices that might be marginalized? You know, this is my concern, how we go about forming a group that is all-inclusive. Especially considering that there are these extremist voices out there. So, you know, and they do have a platform out there.
They do.
So do we bring them in here and give them a platform here?
Well, it's in the paperwork.
And how do we answer that? Is it okay to equity? Equity means that some people who are of the same color are just different, and then we treat them differently based on where they were born. And that might be fair. That somebody might say that is indeed fair, but that's a hard question for me. And I don't think it's naive to bring it up. I don't think it's extremist. I don't think I'm picking a crazy out there idea that's only on Twitter. Because it's here in Crystal, so
yeah,
we have a really big immigrant population, not just from Africa. We have a huge Hispanic population. You know, to bring them in and have everybody have a seat at the table, and of course it will function and it will work, but maybe it won't. And then, I guess that's the risk we have to take, is that it won't function and work. So that's a question I don't know.
That's not a huge risk, though. I mean, though the commission gets established and starts meeting, and it's not solving the issues that we thought it would, well, then you tweak it.
That's true.
You bring in new personality, or you change the makeup of the commission, or, I mean, there's not a huge downside to this.
So that comment alone, we change it. Once you establish something like this, it's very hard to change. I don't want to rush into this in terms of establishing it. I think we need to do a little bit more work.
Okay.
And the thing is, when you try to remove someone, it becomes more of a personal thing. And then it's whose idea as to why, you know, is the council going to agree on the same reason why? Because one is perceived as an extreme leftist or an extreme right person, that okay, this group is going to be the arbitrary of that. Do you want to have that conversation in this council chambers? I don't. I want to do some more work up front to make sure we get it nailed in terms of what we're doing here, why we're doing it. We had requested some information on terms of what the Crystal for Change group, what Adams brought in, and I don't
remember seeing it in.
It's in the. It's at the end of the Human Rights Commission. What he was asking or recommending.
It was his role and duties, right? But
I kind of boiled it down. I probably oversimplified it.
So yeah, I mean, it was pages of stuff. Yeah.
But it was leading up to why.
Right. Right. I mean, if I may, you know, one more time, really, I mean, just look at, like I said, it's, is, you know, I want to say watered down, right? But it's, this is, or, and I can just be real and honest. It's, I want to say not, I mean, it is a middle of the road approach, but it's not because it's still achieving, right? It's not as direct. But, you know, when you just look at the, you know, I guess I'll just read it because I'm not sure if it's, you know, I don't see anything wrong with analyze city's processes, procedures, policy, and ordinances as directed by the city council on matters of diversity, equity, inclusion, and human rights. We're looking at how Golden Valley is kind of laid out. Present results of the programs of research and recommended changes to process procedures, policies, and ordinances to the city council based on those results. Review, evaluate the city's community outreach methods and activities to ensure messaging reaches a diverse population and provide inclusive participation activities. Annually provide input to the city's equity plan. Communicate city's diversity, equity, and inclusion work and facilitate community engagement and feedback, right? This is just like, you know, saying, are we ready for it? Are we, you know, if we didn't have an EQC, are we ready to have an EQC? I don't think we're ready to have an EQC yet because
we don't believe in the global change, or
we're just not there.
Yeah.
Right.
Or it's there.
And I'm being slightly, you know, facetious, right? I mean, we're just any of the commissions that we have, right? This is, you know, they're an advisory body. They don't have much authority beyond that. But it does give, you know, something, right, that where we don't have, you know, we're not, and this is where you're able to really get people into the mix that are, you know, that I can say that, you know, I know that I've had conversations with, you know, people that would, you know, that they would get involved with that. And yes, there will be some voices that may get left out. And that's when you continue to work in there. But the reality is us as a body, we don't have the, that's not our, I would say that's probably not really our role. It's like, it's not our role. And, you know, in the EQC, right? We're not doing that. We gave them a thing, or just think more basic. The Charter Commission did one heck of a job, right? They were charged with a mission to evaluate, go through, make the recommendations. And yeah, that's probably a little more legalistic, right? What they were doing. But that was just a great example of members of the community serving on a commission, going through and kind of doing with what they were charged to do, you know, as the council. Because then when I do, honestly, when I look at, you know, like Brooklyn Park, you know, or like you look at, you know, or even like some of these other ones, I think that has opened the door to, you know, when you look at some of the roles and duties of the other ones, just has opened the door to what I have already heard from historically has been some issues here in our community by having, you know, thing with has caused people to be hesitant to support a human rights commission, right? Or you look at, you know, like I said, Brooklyn Park, in a different city, different makeup, you know, like I wouldn't want that same thing, you know, to receive, you know, you create this body that to receive discrimination complaints forwarded by, you know, it's really CMRS. And I actually used to sit on the board of CMRS, you know, so it's one of, and I'm not, you know, I'm just saying when I look at what we have going on in our community, where we're going and the process and how we've continued to go that route to, you know, like I said, it's, and so there would be some people that I would say probably more progressive in the aspect said, no, we need to do more, right? But I think this is an incredible step forward. It's not going to be perfect.
Nancy.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm really curious about New Brighton because they're just kind of in the same place we are. And I'm really curious about how they're developing, they're in the process of being created and defined kind of right where we are. So it'd be kind of neat to pick their brains a little too and see where they're at or what they've outlined so far, because they may have some ideas or things that we haven't thought of.
They decided to go with the Golden Valley plan. Oh, no.
Wow. We all like the Golden Valley.
And also, Anne, thank you for this comparison. Mm-hmm. This was really helpful.
All right. Moving forward, what I'd like to do is continue this meeting as opposed to end it. I would really like to have a better, I don't want a synopsis of what Crystal for Change. I don't want it that watered down. In fact, I'd rather have it in original form. So we can have conversations about that, because really my understanding and in my interpretation of that doesn't look anything like that. And who knows? I haven't looked at it for a very long time. I may see it in a different lens today than I did then. Mm-hmm. Who knows? And I'd really like to have that opportunity as we move forward. Any other last comments? Future work in terms of, I think we look at New Brighton. I'm going to take another run at Golden Valley and pay a little bit more attention to it and probably dive deep into it a little further. I mean, I did a reading, not a study, and I'd prefer to have a little bit more time to study on that one.
So when is that back?
Next month.
Yep. I think I have it tentatively in case we didn't, I didn't know how far you'd get tonight. I think I tentatively have it on the February 10th work session.
Okay.
And I think, I don't know. I think we'll just leave it there for now. All right. Thank you, everyone. Good job, you guys.
Yep.